Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another episode of Let's Begin. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, as always. Joining us is Filippo D'Onofrio. Patrick Winifield will not be with us tonight, but instead we've still got Theresa Sammons, Chris Logie, and Dan Red Victorio. Say hi, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah. We may be a day late, but after the Switch launch yesterday, I think we're more than a dollar short at this point.
Yeah.
It was the difference between having two people and five people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much, to be honest, I did kind of expect that to happen, considering that, I mean, let's face it, in the gaming world, a new Nintendo console coming out is no small deal. considering this is pretty much going to be their primary console going forward, that's even bigger deal.
Yeah.
So. Plus, you know, it also released coinciding with the brand new main game in the Zelda franchise, which is apparently the greatest goddamn game ever made in the history of man, if you were to go by all the reviews they're getting.
Yeah.
Good job, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Apparently, it really is that good.
And we got two of those games this week, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep. And all I can say is, we better be glad that this game, that this console didn't come out in the 90s, because if you remember 90s Nintendo advertising, what the tagline for it would be. Something be like, you got a Switch, bitch.
Thanks. Play it loud.
Switch in or switch out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we could just recycle another one. Stick it in your pocket if you have a really big pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, this episode is going to be for March 4th, 2017. This is first show of the month, and like we said, yes, the Switch is out, and that's the primary big sort of video game story of right now. But obviously, we've all been up to a bunch of other stuff, and on top of that, we're also going to be talking about some things, like we got some political stuff as usual. We'll be saying goodbye to the late Bill Paxton. There's also explanation of finding out why a quarter of the internet kind of stopped working this week. also, we get a first new look at the first good look at the new DuckTales series.
Yep.
We also found out that some new stuff about the next Pirates of the Caribbean movie, because apparently they can't stop making them. Well, I'm going to save that last little surprise for the end.
Yeah.
So, with that said, let's start off saying what we've been up to this week. So, Phil, you go first.
So, I've been doing the whole audiobook thing. I finished Demon, and I also started and finished Freedom TM. I find after reading Freedom TM, it seems very timely with what's going on right now. Well, one of the plot points of that particular book was that the powers that be wanted to induce a global economic crisis so they could basically pool their investments and basically be the ones to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they, one of the rhetorics that they used was they had private military contractors going in and just raising hell, and then they were blaming it on unlisted workers. Yeah, I don't think that that doesn't sound familiar at all.
Not one bit.
So,
yeah. If you don't know, this is the Demon duology, right?
Right.
I'm pretty sure it actually originally was published in a single volume.
When he saw published it, yeah, it was one volume.
And then they just split it up.
Yeah.
And two.
Yeah.
Those of you who don't know about this particular book, the basic plot is that this guy, I forgot what his name is, he's
Matthew
a
Sobel.
Big Patrick Sobel.
Matthew Sobel.
Sobel is a big time video game developer, and he passes away from brain cancer. But before he dies, he sets up this whole, well, almost superhuman way of setting up all of these programs that are set to start the moment he dies.
Yeah.
And basically among them, one of the very first things that starts is he ends up getting a military grade Humvee that he gives artificial intelligence to, and basically starts parading around and like guarding his estate.
Yeah, that starts killing people and yeah.
And like he's got his office wired to explode and all this other shit, and then it just goes into some insane places.
Yeah.
Like the dude who's like one of the dudes is like a hack. One of the characters in the book is like this computer hacker, and not like the superhuman computer hacker. He's good, but he's not that good.
Yeah, he's a security consultant. That's what he does.
Yeah, he's a white hat, in other words.
Yeah.
Look. Hey Christian.
What's going on, guys? I just didn't want to interrupt your conversation.
Oh, it's good. All right, just folks who are listening, we'll just keep recording. It's no problem.
Yeah.
We've just been joined by Christian Paraguaya. He's one of the other folks over at SmashPad. It's been a while since he's been on, so say hi, Christian.
Hey, guys. What's going on? Good to be back. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, as I was saying, the guy that we're talking about, this guy who's a white hat hacker, he is playing this game. I think it's called
the
World War II game, right?
It's Over the Rhine.
Yeah, and basically he starts having a conversation with one of the dudes in the game, who's like a. And then that eventually leads him into having to getting into his car, and it goes into some weird and wacky shit.
Yeah.
But it's damn good reading.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, what else, Phil?
So, apart from that, been listening to a bunch of music, mostly like some of the first couple of Metallica albums.
Yeah.
Just want to say they still hold up. Probably some of their best work. You know. So, you know, just not a whole lot there as far as music goes. Just been listening to the old stuff, and maybe I'll get started on some stuff that I found on Bandcamp later. So I'll report back on those later. I've also been watching some Netflix shows. Chris mentioned Ultimate Beastmaster last week, and I started watching that, and it is just completely insane.
Yes. How far are you in?
I've only gotten to watch the first two episodes so far, so
okay.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten like bananas yet, but it's still like, who the hell thought of this? Seriously,
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. So that's,
from what I've seen, it's like Ninja Warrior on crack, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's like if a millionaire decided to make a course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty nuts, but it's really enjoyable to watch. It takes itself actually seriously, which I don't know if I'm going to be able to stomach that for the whole show. But
well, except for that weird samurai guy with the wig on.
Well, yeah, but you got to have something, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So there's that's been good. I watched the first episode of White Rabbit Project too. So yeah, that's not bad. Probably stick through that one. Yeah. So I like those guys. I want to see where that show ends up going. So figure that one out.
Yeah, that's about as far as I got on that, too.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
And you know what? Before we get to Teresa, Christian, tell us what you've been up to this week.
I've actually, like everybody else, the Switch. That's taken up a lot of my weekend since Thursday. And I just got a new desktop, so I'm going to be doing some more PC stuff. Probably soon. So.
That's cool.
Yep. Just that, right. Pretty much.
Like I said before you signed on, I kind
of
had a feeling that
Switch
was going to be a big drain on our resources this week. So All right, then. Well, Teresa, what have you been up to this week?
Playing Civ 6. Big surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little bit more in Skyrim. And then I got Amiibo Festival for my birthday, and I was playing that probably a little bit too much. I've got most of... Yeah, you know, it's cute.
It's like chill Mario Party.
It is. You know, nobody gets upset when they land on the same space. They're all like, hey, let's have a little party. We're all happy.
The game's not trying to kick you in the balls constantly.
No, it's Mario Party on, like, Prozac, where everything is just Stepford nice. So that's been fun, though. I'm having a little bit of fun with that. Filled up my town with all the villagers that I wanted from my cards today, so got that done. I watched Dope, which I thought it was going to be something completely different. I had run across on Imgur or Reddit or something, just a small clip of it from when they were at band camp. Mm-hmm. That is a funny clip. But that was like a complete outlier to the entire movie, although it was still obviously in line with it, with the characters. It was not what I expected, and I'm still kind of mentally processing that. I was really glad I sat down and watched that Thursday. That was a great movie. And I think if I had read, you know, a brief synopsis of it, I probably wouldn't have watched it. Because, you know, I probably don't care too much about drugs and all that other stuff, but yeah, I don't know, I'd probably watch some stupid Jane Austen flick instead. But that was really good, glad I watched it. And then I've also been listening to old Judy Blume audiobooks. We're going through the whole Super Fudge, Fudgemania, mm-hmm. that series, although this afternoon we started Sheila the Great, or the Great Sheila, or whatever the hell it is. Mm. And I'm not so into the Sheila book. I missed these when I was a kid, so it's been kind of fun to...
Are you there, God, it's me, Margaret, yet?
No, I remember trying to check that out from the library in third grade and being turned away by the librarian. She's like, oh, no, honey, you're not old enough to understand. And I'm like, bitch, my IQ is 140. I can understand this. But of course it wasn't. And no, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Judy Blume, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, by the time that book would have been relevant for me, I didn't necessarily need it. So,
yeah, Judy Blume was one of those writers around the 60s and 70s who started writing these kids books that were honestly didn't treat kids like idiots.
Yeah.
Like they wrote books for kids that approached them with real issues and, you know, talked about stuff that kids kind of needed to know about, and parents freaking hated it.
Oh yeah, these were very, very influential, even for the kids who didn't read them all. You know, when you were growing up in the early 80s.
Yeah.
So see, when I was, you did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got passed around like crazy. And they did. They were already hitting on, oh God, this one. This one thing, it makes more sense now than it did back then. The one guy said, or the one friend of the main character said, and speaking of basic, what about the cootie queen, Sheila? And I'm like, wow. And Scott heard that. He's like, man, he was throwing shade 30 years ahead of his time. But they talk about, you know, bad divorces and all sorts of things, people dying, people remarrying, and what that goddamn middle child did to the oldest child's pet. Oh. Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
But, see, when I was a kid, like, one of the really controversial authors was this dude. He actually died in 2000. His name was Robert Cormier. He was from Massachusetts, and he wrote thrillers for kids. And it was basically stuff – it was books like – probably books such as After the First Death, which had to deal with terrorism. I Am the Cheese, which had to do with government conspiracies and mental illness. But probably the book that got challenged in libraries more than any of the other ones was a novel he wrote called The Chocolate War. Now, I'm not sure how many of you folks remember this one, but basically what it was is it was about this kid who went to this private Catholic school called Trinity. And what it was, and every year they would the school would have a sale where they would sell chocolate door to door. And basically the problem was is that, you know, maybe he just, this kid who, his name's Jerry, he's like, maybe I just don't want to participate in that. And he doesn't really have that much reason to. He gets bullied all the time, and in particular, he's picked on by this group of kids who call themselves the Vigils. They're like a little secret society within the school, and it's kind of suggested that they're kind of sort of run by one of the vice principals of the school, this guy named Brother Leon. And basically, he tries to do everything he can to stay out of having to do the chocolate sale. And eventually, I don't want to spoil the ending, but basically, it goes into things like conformity and religion in particular is a big part of the book. And as you can guess, it got challenged a lot back in the day. That's just you brought up Judy Blume, and I just all of a sudden had my memories of all those old books coming back. But all right, so Chris, what about you?
Much like Dan, Reb, and Christian, I got a Switch. I went out to Best Buy for their midnight launch, and being in Ohio, it was in the 20s. So I made sure not to get there very early. I got about 10 minutes till midnight. Got in line towards the back. I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. I'm not going to freeze my ass off. I'm going to get it just like everybody else. They split us up. Sort of had the people that are just going to buy, still had to buy their console and all that, went to the left towards the registers when we got in. Everybody else went to the right. For those that pre-ordered for, you know, in-store pickup and all that, which should have meant to gone real quick, but there had to be like those people that have to make everything more complicated.
Oh, right.
Like when you're in a long line at the grocery store and somebody pulls out a checkbook and you just want to smash their head with a melon. there was these two older people that were trying to buy two Switches with two copies of Skylanders. Somehow that was taking forever.
Christ.
And various other things. They mostly were organized. Have everybody's stuff organized, I think, in alphabetical. And the two guys running the registers there, there was another woman that was asking the next person who their name was so they could pull out their stuff, whoever got it next. I eventually got mine about 30 minutes after midnight. Well, I was just standing there like, all you have to do is just fucking get your shit and get out. It's like a two-minute process. And that's why I like in-store pickup at Best Buy, because I can be out in 2 minutes or less.
I think you're overestimating the general public here.
That's why I don't deal with the general public. I was definitely smart enough not to go with Amazon for this, because
they screwed up. A bunch
of people that didn't get their stuff at all.
A lot of pissed off people.
I saw Phil Kohler at Polygon complain to them. They gave him a 20% coupon off. I was like, this guy spent at least $300 on his order. You're giving him 20% off for another purchase. What the fuck is wrong with you people? You don't take their money and say, why don't you keep spending money? We'll get your stuff eventually to you. It's like, they paid to have it day one, not later on. That's what I had with my PS4. They fucked up my order and I complained to them. like the second person I got eventually got me something. It's like $50, I think. But yeah, launches, I decided, fuck the internet. Because they're going to fuck it up somehow. So yeah, I've been playing Zelda and Snipperclips. Both are really fun for very different reasons. Zelda is interesting to play a Zelda game that is all about systems. All of its various systems coming together. Like I chased, I accidentally chased a boar around and it found one of the enemy camps. And those guys went fucking nuts trying to kill the boar. As it was just sort of running around and watching the guy in the sniper tower just spinning around as he's following the boar. Yeah. Completely ignoring Link with the sword coming after him. So, there's some fun stuff in that game. Snipperclips is a fun, silly puzzle game. Instead of having two people to control each of the characters themselves, it's one person controlling both, sort of switching back and forth, which is probably easier because you don't have to worry about the asshole that refuses to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But also takes a little bit longer because you're trying to control two different characters at the same time.
Mm.
But I'm on the second world of that. I'll probably talk more about that tomorrow. Also been playing Horizon, which playing that and Zelda back-to-back is a mindfuck. Like, here's the last-gen version of this game. Here's the next-gen version of this game. So Horizon looks way better. Kind of has some of the same aspects to it of kind of coming at these encounters stealthily and having a bow and something of a melee weapon. But I was playing a bunch yesterday and stabbing these robot horses in the ass. They're stealth kills.
Yeah.
Because she has like a spear. And I was just trying to be stealthy and stabbing these horses in the ass just to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a great joy for me. Also been playing Trails of Cold Steel. I got to the park in that first town. Got to the boss, and I think that's where I paused and had to take a break. I hate the demon gorillas because that first encounter I had with them, there was like four of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly wiped out my party. I was like, fuck, did I go the wrong way? I gotta go grind a little bit. I managed to come back from that. But now I'm fighting like the ultimate demon gorilla. That's the final boss of that little dungeon area.
Mm-hmm.
That's still good. Still trucking along with that. Much like Phil, I've been watching Ultimate Beastmaster. I am now 6 episodes in. And the thing that is kind of bothering me with that is they're not using the same course for every episode. Now, Phil, the first 2 episodes are pretty much the same course each one, right?
Yeah. There's maybe a little bit of variation, but not much.
Yeah, they start making bigger changes. There's a trampoline you'll find in like 2 of the episodes. They make changes to like that first incline in the first stage.
Yeah.
They start making some changes to that, and I think it starts sinking as you get to the top to make that jump up to the ledge a little bit harder, things like that. There's lots of weird stuff. I think they made change to the bungee beds that you saw.
Yeah.
That gets a little bit harder because they're... I think they said it tighten. Do they tighten or loosen them?
Hmm.
I forget which one. I think they loosened them so it's easier to lose your balance. That's sort of the thing I'm not a huge fan of because And they also change point values. Mm. So like they get different point values to get to the second round and third round and all that. I think the one I was just watching, they were getting 30 points instead of 40 for some of it. But I might have been just misremembering. But definitely, you've seen like people to get like 60, 70, 80 points to get out of that first round, right?
Yeah.
It's like 30.
Oof.
Where I'm at. And it's because they're cutting stuff out, but also they changed that rope.
Yeah.
From metal to actual rope. So it's a lot harder to grab onto. And there was one guy that got past that, but they showed close-ups of his fingers, and you can see his skin is peeled off from fucking trying to climb so hard on that thing. Yeah. But you've seen the greatness of the people that fuck up that jump off that treadmill.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
They keep doing that. There's one guy that just does fantastic. Every other one just fucks that up, and he's out of the game completely. Yeah. He's like, you had one job, man.
One job is just drop into the water.
Yeah, it's just like these great physical specimens just looking like complete fools. It's one of the great joys of that show.
Yeah.
I still love that nobody's able to get up on that last the last wall. I think you'll see people get up to the last like quarter of it. But yeah, it's, I don't know who's going to get the hell past that part.
Yeah.
Cuz up there those like ledges, yeah, as far as you can tell, they're angled inward. So they're not like actual ledges.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get a handhold on those things.
Yeah. I don't know what sort of monkey person has to get through that.
You have to be part gecko, I think. Maybe we'll make it.
Maybe. You have to get like a Spider-Man up there.
Yeah.
And I've also been listening to some more music since I have a phone that can actually store it on my Amazon music app. Been listening to a lot of Stephen Lynch. His Craig Machine album is great. Also put some more Steam Power Giraffe stuff since they have most of their albums on there. It's like two albums they don't, but been listening to some of that stuff. And I just have some more comedy stuff on there, like the Sklar Brothers. I haven't listened to their most recent album, but looking forward to being able to listen to more than just Hamilton and the Book of Mormon. About all the room I had on there, I was like, well, those are the two things I most want to listen to, and I got them. I got them on there, plus a bunch of other stuff. So, was Dan Reb next?
Yep, Dan Reb, what have you been up to this week? As if we didn't already kind of know.
I think Christian's next, actually.
No, he already went.
Oh, he already went? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Off the top.
Anyway. It's been quite a busy week. I'm recovering from Vegas. I got back on Sunday night, and I lost like $400 on the craps table.
Ooh.
So, yeah, had that to deal with. However, at work we also got our annual bonuses in this week, so that was added to our. Yeah, that was added to our paychecks, and then I was looking at it deeper, and I was like, oh, cool. I got taxed 40% out of it. So, yeah.
Nice.
So much for paying off the full credit card. But, yeah, that didn't happen. Mm. And then it was also GDC week. I was only able to go one day because we had two passes to share amongst, like, six people who were interested in going. I went on Thursday, which was heavy for, like, community managing stuff, which is what I do. So I went to three panels. They were all pretty interesting, but nothing extraordinary. And yeah, it was my first GDC, and I had a lot of fun.
You played Mutant Football League.
I did play Mutant Football League. And yeah, so with GDC compared to a lot of the other gaming expos I've been to, the lines are literally almost non-existent. Like, if you were to stand in line to play a game, you'll definitely be playing it within 10 minutes. And that was fantastic.
I guess there's nobody there that wants to play games, really.
They just want to make them.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of Unity booths and things like that. But there were still quite a bit of gamers and, like, other press there. As Phil said, I did play Mutant Football League. And it plays a lot like the latest NFL Blitz did on PS3 and Xbox 360.
Yeah.
Except a whole lot more funner because you can kill people and chainsaw, throw them into the water and shit like that.
Balls.
Yeah. I actually had a chance to play with one of their staff members, and what I found hilarious was some of the names of these teams and players. Mm. So, of course, I used the their version of the Green Bay Packers. They were called the Green Bay Attackers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And their number one wide receiver, who was a parody of Jordy Nelson, was Jerky Half Nelson. And I was like, oh, man, this is hilarious. Mm. And, yeah, I could not pass the ball at all. Mm. My quarterback was extremely fast. But then when it came to throwing the football, my receivers just couldn't catch up with the ball at all. And I was like, oh, lame. So, yeah, the running game seemed pretty good, except that my running back's extremely fat, so he couldn't really get anywhere. There's also, like, some interesting plays you can call. You could have, like, a chainsaw and shit like that. So, yeah, it was crazy. I'm really looking forward to it. The Kickstarter ends on Monday, so if you have any interest in this, hopefully things work out, because I would really like to see them do a Mutant Hockey League.
Yes.
Because that was something, they had the original box for that too. So I was like, oh, shoot, maybe this is a possibility if this does well.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was more stuff on at GDC, but I'll talk about that tomorrow. Yeah, Switch release. But before I get to that, I also have Horizon. I played that for about 8 hours, but that's going to be tabled because of Zelda. But from what I've played, honestly, I know that it's being compared to Zelda a lot, but it just really is nowhere near similar at all, in my opinion. This one is an open world game in the sense that there's a whole lot of like side quests that you can do right away. Whereas with Zelda, you really have to look for them. In Horizon, they're pretty much fed to you. Yeah. I know Brandon's been playing a lot of it, but my primary problem with the game so far is that, well, the main thing, it's not really a spoiler. Aloy is an outcast from the tribe and whatever, and when you meet other people, they're all afraid of being outcasted, and that's literally like everybody you meet. So I was like, okay, everybody has the same side story. I don't care. And you also have these dialogue choices where, you know, you can answer questions using your heart, using your brain, being aggressive. And it's interesting seeing the way she reacts to these answers and stuff, but in telltale fashion, they don't really matter. And I'm finding myself just trying to like end conversations because I honestly don't care about their stories. I'd rather just do what I have to do and move forward. And then as for the battle mechanics, like I don't even know if I'm doing it right or if there is a right way. In all the previews I've seen, people like focus on certain weak points. And honestly, I've just been shooting, and then if they're weak, I just hit them with my stick or whatever I have, and yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot. But yeah, again, it'll take a back seat for now because of the Switch. Yeah,
yeah,
which I'll talk about right now. So like Chris did, I had my Switch at Best Buy. The thing is, I didn't realize that my Switch was at one Best Buy and all my games and accessories were at another Best Buy. So that was completely out of left field. Like I know that I had a whole lot when it came to pre-order it, but I didn't know.
So which one did you go to first?
Until the day of. Mm-hmm. So the first one I went to was in Kirtner, which is actually the farthest one away from me, or like within my proximity. And yeah, so I probably left my house around 11:20. Got in line about 11:50, and I didn't get into the store to pick up my Switch until like 1. So I know it's California, and it wasn't that cold, but by our standards, it was pretty cold. So it was pretty lame. They actually also had a few on hand to sell to walk-ins, but those people were ticketed. And there was no separate line for people who pre-ordered or had them ticketed. And in addition to that, you could only buy like 2 accessories. So what was holding up the line was people deciding which accessories they wanted to get and things like that. They didn't really have
an idea. Oh, they were doing their shopping there?
Yeah.
They hadn't decided yet.
Because they only let pockets of 5 people in per time. So that was really annoying. I actually didn't make it to the second store. Luckily, a friend of mine who was picking up his there was able to get mine. I just had to go on the app and change my name to his, and that worked out. So, yeah, I ended up getting the special edition version of The Legend of Zelda, as well as Bomberman. And that night, I just installed stuff and played Bomberman, and it was pretty fun. But I think my my left Joy-Con was also affected by some of the stuff going on, because when I was playing online, I don't know if it was lag or my controller, but my bomber wouldn't move until about 3 seconds after tilting the stick, so that was actually pretty annoying. It wasn't like that when I was playing it at GDC. And yeah, that was the first day of it. So today I just played Zelda primarily, and I'm about, let's say, 8 hours in. I've gone through 7 shrines, and I just got through Kakariko Village. So not everyone's dead, thankfully. And although I have died more than 20 times in this game already, this is probably the hardest Zelda game I've played since the original, and I am happy about that. So
yeah, I drown a lot in that game.
Yeah, it's crazy because they all use the same stamina bar. Whether you're climbing, running, or swimming, it all uses the same thing. So if you're doing everything at once, you can find yourself dying in different ways, which is pretty hilarious.
Well, mine, I was trying to go into that northern area where it's all snow, and you can't get into the water at all unless you're somehow able to get up under the wall like right away. You drown like a couple seconds later, because there's that broken bridge, so like that's the fastest way to get over there. I wasn't figuring out how to use that magnetic ability, because the bridge part that I was trying to put on there, I was grabbing it the wrong way, so it was perpendicular. It's real hard to get that lined up right if you're not right in front of it. So I kept doing it, it would fall, and I'd fall into the water and die.
Oh yeah, because the water just makes you die faster.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but speaking of the snow, the one thing I didn't realize is something my brother told me, because he has the Wii U version. When you're in the snow area and you're holding a lighted torch, the cold doesn't affect you. And I was like, oh, shit, I wish I knew before.
I just made some food that makes you cold resistant.
Yeah.
So it was like 3-minute limit. It's like, okay, I got to get across the water up to the shrine in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That was pretty tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but from what I've played so far, really enjoying it. Gonna get back into it tonight, but I'm taking a little break. Watched Logan a while ago, so it was fantastic. I'm not a big fan of X-Men at all, but this is probably the best X-Men movie there is. So
it seems like it's in the Dark Knight camp of, you don't necessarily have to be a fan of the comics to enjoy it.
All right, well, Christian, you wanted to kind of go a little bit more in depth of what you went through this week.
Yeah, sure. Like the last few guys, I picked up my Switch. Picked it up at GameStop. I don't know why I continue to reserve things there, but Target is my usual go-to reservation place, and they didn't do pre-orders this year for whatever reason, so I was.
I heard GameStop was super organized, though.
That's what I've heard, but my GameStop was probably the one out of the whole country that wasn't. So it took forever for whatever reason, but I was able to get it, and I went a little Nintendo fanboy crazy, and I bought a bunch of stuff. Special Edition Zelda, 1-2 Switch, Bomberman, Snipper Clips. I'm going to pick up Shovel Knight. I bought extra Joy-Cons, I bought the Pro Controller, I bought the charging grip, and I bought an AC adapter for whatever reason. I have no clue. But
did
I have
take
it
a
all.
Loan out for all this?
Oh my god.
I probably needed to, but no, that's my haul from the weekend, and had to pop in Bomberman first, get that multiplayer in. I haven't touched the campaign yet. But like Danrev brought up, like the little lag on Bomberman needs to be fixed right away. I hope they get on that, because it takes away from the Bomberman feel of it. It's not as responsive as it needs to be, especially as a launch title. So hopefully that gets fixed sooner than later. So just playing that. I did play 6 people, which is pretty crazy. I know it supports up to 8, so hopefully I can check out an 8-player match, because that just sounds like mayhem. I mean, of course, had to get some Zelda time in. I haven't played as much as Xanrap has, but I did finish the plateau, and I'm just gonna start Hyrule now. So,
did you already open your AC adapter?
I did. Yeah, I did.
I was about to say, because the Pro Controller actually comes with a USB-C, and that charges pretty damn quickly, so it'll charge your tablet pretty fast too. So, anyway, yeah.
Well, perfect. Well, I have like 5 of those cords now, so I'm never losing power. Zelda, I want to dive more into, but I've been trying to play the other party games, or you know, like once you switch. And the one thing about it that I really like is the portability. I mean, I've been taking it everywhere. I was playing earlier at a coffee shop with a few friends, just really showing off, you know, its abilities, and people have been pretty positive to it. So I think that's Nintendo did a great job with that.
So you're one of those people from the trailer.
I mean, I got you. You kind of got to live it, you know. Like, I mean, I felt kind of weird playing at a coffee shop, but I was like, you know, whatever.
Just gotta make sure you get your roof parties in.
Oh
yeah,
God.
Yeah, because you know everyone has those roof parties. but like Chris was saying, Snipperclips, great puzzle game. I've been playing. I played solo and with another person, and it's almost a different experience. I'm gonna try to get in 3 to 4 players because I think there's like different modes for that for the larger amount of people.
Yeah, there's 2 that are 2 to 4 player.
Yeah, I haven't.
I don't know what the difference is.
Yeah, I haven't touched that yet.
One seems that like it might be co-op, and the other one might be just fuck everybody over.
Yeah, I saw one that looked like a battle mode where you're just kind of cut each other up, and that looked awesome. So I haven't touched that yet, but I want to get into that. But it's been surprisingly really good, Snipperclips. It's satisfying finishing those puzzles and kind of, you know, figuring it out. And then I'm still on Overwatch. I don't know if anyone is still even playing that game. But I'm still
I heard
playing
they have a new character coming.
We do have a new character coming. She's the beast. She's like all the tanks combined, which is ridiculous. But Overwatch Blizzard continues to drop new stuff, free content, and the lore of the game is what really has got me. Like, I just love what they're doing with that. Yeah, it's just something new in the story and all the shorts that they're releasing. It just really keeps me tuned into that. To that series, so I'm still playing that. Season 4 competitive season just started, so I'm gonna play more competitive season or competitive games this season and try to rank up a little higher this season. And then, like I mentioned earlier, I did just get a desktop, and I'm looking to play a new game. So if you guys have any PC gaming recommendations, I'm open to everything, and I just want to, you know, finally get some PC gaming going.
Yeah. Well, if you don't have a PS4, I don't know if you do or not, but if you don't have a PS4, Brutal is out on the PC, and it's awesome.
Brutal, okay. I'll have to check that out.
It's kind of a dungeon crawler, roguelike. It's really awesome. Has no other game looks like this game does. Yeah, and that's Brutal with an at sign, because marketing.
Of course.
Let's play up that ASCII art kind of thing.
Yeah, it's available on Steam. It's super awesome. We've actually had the developer of that on the Day Zero update. It's a really cool guy.
So, once or twice. Yeah.
Yep, twice. So
we need to get him back on too.
Yeah, yeah. Then we need to complain about how insane that game gets at some point.
It's just going to be us. It's just going to be an hour and a half of us just throwing shade at him for.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
We haven't beaten the game yet, Richard.
It's like that dragon doesn't want company or something. Jeez.
Right. All right. Well, as for me, around it. Oh, and before I move on, just let everybody know, yes, Patrick is not with us tonight, and the reason is because
he's
playing Switch, basically. And he's also sort of making his first forays into legitimate sports writing as well, so that's his other thing.
Yeah.
So he's busy with that stuff. As for me this week, my primary activities was primarily Horizon Zero Dawn and reading. That was pretty much it. So yeah, Horizon Zero Dawn. I have been playing it. I have quite enjoyed it. Holy shit, does that game get difficult? Because I love how the game kind of lulls you into this false sense of strength at the beginning. Because when it's sort of taking you through this tutorial of how to play the game, and then you're basically doing the first couple of missions, it makes it seem particularly easy. You know, because you're basically fighting small fry, mostly.
And it's like if you're just doing stealth well enough, you're not going to have much trouble.
Yeah, and even if you end up having to go head-to-head, I mean, you can still take them out with a spear, with a few hits of the spear fairly easily. And then you finish the proving section, and then all hell breaks loose. And that's when you realize that you really need to make sure that you've got your shit prepared before you go out.
Yeah.
And then you go out to the main part of the game where you start running into bigger and bigger, you know, machines. And, yeah, that's where the robot dinosaur shit starts coming into play.
Yeah.
Because they get big. And they can kill you very quickly.
Yeah.
That game is quite good. Obviously I'm extremely jealous of everyone who's got a Switch right now. I figure I'll give it a couple months and maybe the price will go down. I don't know. It's a Nintendo, so probably not.
By the time you end up getting one, it'll be easy to get, at least.
Won't be
a NES
Classic.
That's
the other thing. I'm pretty sure if I tried to get one in the next couple of days, I would be shit out of luck. Surprisingly,
stock over here is pretty good.
I think Nintendo kind of learned their lesson with the NES Classics release.
Yeah.
That's what I would like to hope, but then again, this is Nintendo we're talking about.
Yeah.
And they never learn lessons. They just eventually come around and pretend that was what they thought the whole time.
There's nothing to learn. They're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Who else is going to buy the extra AC adapters, guys? Come on.
Yeah. And, so other than that, as usual, I have been reading. I've really gotten into this writer by the name of Scott Sigler, who he's known for basically he's written a bunch of books now, but he's done a lot of his books, most of them actually, as serialized audiobooks that he puts on his podcast that you can actually listen to for free.
Yeah.
And the one I'm doing right now is the first volume of his series called the Galactic Football League, which is basically about football in space. Okay. It's a lot better than it sounds, I promise you.
Well, it sounds awesome, so
yeah. He's
tackles would work, but
yeah. But for the record, he's a New York Times bestselling author, so he's had regular books published as well. So, but it's good stuff. And, yeah.
Cool.
So I wanted to, before we move on, does anybody have anything else they want to add?
No, I think I'm good.
When buying Shovel Knight, guys, on the Nintendo Switch, do not buy... You need to buy the Treasure Trove one, not the Spectre one, because the Spectre one comes in the Treasure Trove one.
Yeah.
So a lot of people overpaying are buying both, and then you're getting... if you're buying Shovel Knight.
Yes.
Good point. Right. Yes, that's a good point. And also, just before we move on, I want to ask all you guys who are playing the Zelda right now, do you think as far, I know you aren't that far into it yet, but I just want to know, do you think so far that it's earning the huge scores that it's getting?
Definitely.
Really? So it's that good?
Firmly.
I agree. Yes. I agree. Yeah, I'm barely in, and I can already see how amazing this game is going to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's got a lot going for it so far. Right.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing is, if you think you know Zelda, you don't. This just changes everything.
I want to get something off my chest real quick. Anyone else upset that the chests don't open all the way up? Just me? No? Anybody?
I hate when they have things I can't actually hold.
Oh.
So it's like, well, oh, I think you the got reason, too many weapons.
I think the reason the chests don't open all the way is so that you can actually move, you know, use the magnetism power to move them around.
Oh, I see.
And if they did the opening thing, it might do like some weird physics shit that they couldn't do with.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are the things you don't think of.
Then it's probably easier not to animate the whole thing.
All I know is that I'm going to save the world wearing a Nintendo Switch T-shirt.
Yeah. Now, where did you get that? I want that.
You buy the DLC.
Oh gosh, of course.
You paid $20 for that shirt.
The one thing I didn't buy, of course.
All right. So, I the reason I asked that is because I obviously people are going to throw shade on this game on just every website.
Oh, yeah.
That are giving them good reviews because, I mean, it's the internet.
These are the same people that complain about an 8.8 about Twilight Princess. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So the reason, but the thing is, like, the one complaint I keep hearing over and over again is that basically this game is getting great measure, getting amazing scores, like, seriously, as far as I've seen, it is no other site has rated it lower than a 9. Hmm. Or like the 5 out of 5 places, like a 4 out of 5. Hmm. That's the lowest it's gotten.
Hmm.
Otherwise it's all perfect scores. And the one thing they said is that this game is getting all these perfect scores for basically doing stuff that all other games have already done.
Yeah, maybe. Those are things Zelda has ignored for a long time.
And the people who say who counter that was saying, well, the reason that it's okay because it not only does all that stuff, it does it so seamlessly.
Hmm.
Yeah, for the most part.
All right.
It's like, well, if there's an Ubisoft game, but it doesn't fill your map with tons of shit to do.
Hmm.
It just lets you go and figure that shit out on your own, for the most part.
Which is what the original Zelda did. Just
let it go and which do is, that's one of the things I've been telling you. This is very much it is very much in the spirit of the original Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
And that it's just you in this big open world, and you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah.
Then you get jorts for Link. So
also,
thanks for all people.
Yeah, and also the old man is constantly fucking with you when you
actually teleporting us.
You can give him attitude the entire time. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Horizon, Zelda, Mass Effect, maybe Red Dead. This is a hell of a year. So enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also I'm planning on getting later, I think it's next week, but either next week or the week after that, maybe getting a copy of Nier Automata.
Hmm.
Yep, there's another one. That'll be underrated. We'll see.
God damn, this month is just rammed. Yeah. It really is.
The year is so good. I forgot Neo came out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You had RE7 and a bunch of other games. It's stupid.
Yeah.
We're pretty much stacked until the summer.
Yeah.
Then nobody's going to figure out they can release then.
All right. Well, time for the show proper. All right. So, with all that out of the way, it's time once again for everybody's favorite segment of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And this time, this bizarre little bit of history I found a few days ago. It's from a diary of a guy by a guy named Joseph Moody. He lived in Massachusetts, And he was born in 1700. And right around the time, right around 1722, when he was obviously 22 or 21 years old, he started keeping a diary. And basically, with this diary, he would basically cover two things. One, he would give various weather reports, and he would tell whether or not he had yanked his crank that day. So, as some excerpts from that diary. Are you guys prepared for this?
Oh my god.
Can't wait.
All right. Thursday, July 19th, 1722. This morning, I got up pretty late. I defiled myself. Though wide awake, where will my unbridled lust lead me? Wednesday, November 28th, 1722. We called on Captain Allen. I sat quietly with my beloved. Certain people will be here at midnight. I defiled myself. Thursday, February 28th, 1722. Why do I imagine every time there's like violins or something starting up?
It's because you've watched a lot of those Civil War documentaries by Ken Burns.
Yeah. Thursday, February 28th, 1722. Raw south wind at night. I lay in bed late. David Storr, a friend, lodged with me. At first, we talked obscenely. Thereafter, I defiled myself. Wednesday, March 13th, 1722. Raw, cold. Snow at night. I defiled myself without any foregoing lust and from mere desire.
Oh, there you go. We'll change it.
Thursday, April 25th, 1723. I called on Miss Harmon. I was in a measure, frightened by a thunderstorm. Nevertheless, when half awake, I defiled myself.
There's a pattern forming here.
This is Twitter.
What's weird is there's actually a storyline kind of forming here.
No, this is 18th century MySpace.
Yeah.
I guess.
Wednesday, June 12th, 1723. Very hot. Fresh westerly wind. After I got up, I knowingly and intentionally defiled myself. Saturday, June 16th, 1723. Cloudy and my anxiety, as on several occasions before, brought on a diarrhea. Nonetheless, at night, while awake, I defiled myself.
No better way to follow diarrhea.
Very lonely person.
I'm almost done with these, by the way. There's only a couple more. Friday, July 5th, 1723. Cloudy and cool. Few drops of rain. I spent only 1 hour with my beloved. I did not defile myself.
No.
Oh, well, somebody Saturday, had blue balls.
Saturday, August 31st, 1723. Pretty calm and warm, hazy. Last evening, lying in bed, I knowingly and intentionally defiled myself after I had looked into the girl's chamber. Wow, what a creeper.
Whoa.
Monday, April 13th, 1724. I stayed up with my love, not without pleasure. But I indulged my desire too freely, and at night the semen flowed from me abundantly.
Ooh.
I was changing it up there.
And finally, last one, Monday, July 6th, 1724. Not hot, flying clouds, northwesterly breeze. Last night, at first, I handled my member, planning as I thought, nothing evil. In the end, though, I defiled myself.
You know, he seems to have a very repressed but probably very healthy prostate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps himself on a good schedule.
So, the postscript to all of this is Moody eventually married a woman by the name of Lucy White in November of 1724. 1732, he became a pastor. However, he was notoriously unstable, once delivering an entire sermon with a face covered by a handkerchief. He died in 1753.
He's not the dude who set up the Moody Bible Institute.
He might be related to him.
That's interesting. I got turned down for an application that I put in for them this week as a web person. because I refuse to tell them about my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Like,
you don't
need
that defiled in your life.
I defiled myself.
We have a show title.
Yeah. All right. Well, with that little pleasantness out of the way, it's on to our asshole of the week. And we had, again, we had a number to choose from this week. But the one we ended up choosing this week has to do with the fact that this week, the Texas State Senate decided to pass a law that would allow doctors to lie to pregnant mothers.
Yeah, essentially protecting doctors from wrongful birth lawsuits. Not having to let the mothers know of potential disabilities and such that they're,
defect,
they might
that
have.
Type of thing. Because if they find out about the disabilities, there is the potential that
they might want to terminate
the pregnancy, yes. And, of course, this is Texas.
They have had a long-standing war against women.
For God knows how long now. And
they want to get them pregnant, but they don't want them to do anything about it.
No. And then once the kid's born, they don't give a shit.
Nope.
So, yeah, basically just sort of... This is from romper.com, by the way. Right now in Texas, reproductive rights activists are beating back against a slew of anti-choice legislation that serves only to traumatize people who want or need an abortion. The latest to join that lot is Senate Bill 25, an anti-abortion bill that would protect doctors against quote-unquote wrongful birth lawsuits. Supporters of the law claim that the legislation protects children with disabilities. Opponents, on the other hand, say it would give physicians a legal right to lie to expectant parents. In the end, though, Texas wrongful birth law dehumanizes mothers and treats them like incubators.
And it also ruins their lives. I mean, what if they can't support a child, you know, that is, well, just going to be a vegetable forever? Or what if they're not properly prepared for the birth of a trisomy 21 child who might not even, well, don't trisomy 21s die before they're even born?
Yeah.
So, yeah, great. You're going to let them go through that? It's fucking awful. Do you know what happens after people lose a baby in the womb? They have to wait like 2 or 3 days before they finally can be put into labor. And they have to walk around with a dead baby inside them.
Yeah, and then they have to physically remove the miscarriage physically. And, by the way, just in case, just to let everybody know, because this is something I need to point out, because I'm surprised that so many people still fall for this shit. If you ever go to like a pro-life march or one of those anti-abortion rallies, and you'll see those folks walking around with the big placards of the big graphic photographs of like, what looks like rotted and mutilated newborns and fetuses and stuff like that. See, what they never tell you is that if you look closely, you can tell those aren't actually aborted fetuses. Those are miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's very hard to look at. It's the whole thing is a very awful, very unfortunate, string of circumstances. And frankly, the fact that there are people who are more than okay with exploiting it for political gain is a little nauseating.
It's more than a little.
I mean, they did this shit last time with, let's see, hold on. I need to look this up. What they used to call, they called it, they gave it the infamous label of, well, actually, the real medical, term is intact dilation and extraction.
Mm-hmm.
But the politicians and the folks who decided to jump on that big one, they started calling it partial birth abortion, which is not what it is.
No.
It's a emergency late term procedure that's usually used for wanted children when it's discovered that either the child is terribly disfigured or disabled to the point that it'll only have a minute maybe to live. Or that actually giving birth to this child may actually kill the mother if the child isn't already dead. It's not pretty. It's not a pleasant subject. It's a very hard and very traumatizing thing to go through. And
yeah. And it's not the way that it's done a lot of times. A lot of times the mother still has to give birth.
Yeah.
Normally. And you would think that a small baby would be easy to birth. They are not. They are hard to birth.
And, you know, it's not something that a decision, it's not a procedure that is taken lightly. It is usually the all bets are off procedure when every other thing has been tried. And yet, a bunch of assholes took it, decided to make it a cause celebre, and then tried to get Congress to pass a bill that banned the procedure. Yeah. But, yeah, so those are our assholes of the week. Stay
tuned. Yeah, the thing with abortion people that I find crazy is they seem to treat it like women are getting pregnant just to have abortions. Like they're just, it's this thing they do on the weekends. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, they're trying to have families.
Yeah.
I doubt very many of them are even doing that just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Well, they cost like $600. Nobody's doing it for the hell of it.
Yeah. That's not what people in Texas seem to think.
Yeah.
$600 can buy a hell of a lot of contraceptive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, to get that little taste out of our mouth, we're going to go on to our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is none other than Patrick Stewart, who has announced that he is going to be applying for U.S. citizenship so that he can help fight the Trump campaign. The Trump administration.
That was very, very encouraging to see.
Yeah. So, basically he went on The View and he was doing an interview and he basically said he was recounting he was going to a visit to Washington, D.C. and he said he had the worst night's sleep for years and years and years, saying, joking, that Trump might have been to blame. So he would tweet, he tweeted that night and he put out a tweet and his tweet was, had the worst sleep of my life last night, but I was sleeping less than 300 yards from where Donald Trump sleeps. Could there be a connection? And of course he said it was just a joke. But eventually, he was talking with Whoopi Goldberg and, he basically said, I'm not a U.S. citizen. However, there is, maybe it's the only good thing as a result of this election. And then he announced, I am now applying for citizenship because I want to be an American, too. All of my friends in Washington said there is one thing you can do, fight, fight, oppose, oppose. So that's
we're getting our dream team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got Sir Patrick Stewart. So,
yeah,
that's it's amazing what this debacle has done to bring people together.
Yeah.
Maybe we got a starship captain leading the way.
Yeah. And the park rangers.
Professor X will save us all.
damn. So then after that, we're going to do what we like to now call the Trump Roundup.
We should just change it to the Trump Dump.
That's a thing now. All right.
That's totally a thing now, unfortunately.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. First things first, as everybody knows, there was that failed raid in Yemen that ended up costing the life of a U.S. Navy SEAL. And he refuses to take responsibility for it, saying the raid went better than expected, that it went well. You know, everybody was happy.
Yeah.
No.
No.
Saying that the general is in charge, they lost Ryan. Not the commander-in-chief, the leader of all of our military forces.
He's the leader of the armed forces and Navy, yes.
It's on you, dude. I mean,
seriously. He's the leader of throwing somebody under the damn bus.
Yeah.
Didn't he also try to say, well, it was started by Obama, this wasn't my deal?
Yeah.
Was that the same thing here?
Yeah,
probably.
That was the first part of it.
Yeah.
It's like, he didn't take it. Obama didn't approve it either. It was something that was probably around for a little while.
Yeah. And for the record, probably the one part that's really that also kind of irks me is that he basically used his widow as a sort of a prop when he was giving his State of the Union address.
Yeah.
And basically putting this poor woman on the spot. It was less said about that right now, the better.
You want to hear how an actual president mourns the death of a soldier?
Mm-hmm.
He's got a letter from Obama to Mr. and Mrs. Robert and Ruth Strike. I think it's Streich.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Ruth and Robert, I was saddened to learn of the passing of your son, Jody Strike, and I extend my heartfelt condolences as you mourn his loss. Security that lets us live in peace, the prosperity that allows us to pursue our dreams, the freedom that we cherish, these were earned by the service and sacrifice of our nation's veterans. We are forever indebted to these heroes, and I hope you find solace in knowing Jody's legacy lives on not only in the family and friends he left behind, but also in the country he helped defend. At this difficult time, I hope cherished memories help temper your grief. Please know you are in my thoughts and prayers. Sincerely, Barack Obama.
Yeah. And what
That's how a president reacts to the death of one of his own, not blaming on everybody else.
And then taking the widow and trying to use her as a political prop. That's All right.
Tacky beyond all measure.
Yeah. And since that's only the start of this madness, let's move on. He also commented this week that nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Well, of course you don't. If you're a freaking billionaire, you don't have to give two shits about it. Stupid.
Yeah.
It's not like Congress and the president have been fighting over this for the last 8-10 years.
Yeah. It's not like it's a recent thing or anything.
It's also not like, a lot of those Republican and, yes, even some Democrat lawmakers are having town hall sessions and suddenly discovering that there are people basically calling for their heads.
Hmm. Yeah.
This is the reactive administration as opposed to the proactive administration. Yeah. They are reacting to the public outrage, and they're trying to make sure that in 2 years they keep the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good luck with that.
Finally, in the list little part of the Trump dump, as everybody may not have heard by now, there's been a lot of talk and suggestions that there's a bit more of involvement of the Trump administration with the Russian government than they've previously let on. Those who probably know recently have heard that the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, has now been caught basically having lied under oath while he was on his hearing. Congressional hearing to get nominated, not only that, it appears he also used campaign funds to furnish that meeting with the Russian ambassador, who he also happens to be one of the top spies in Russia. So to try and probably kind of deflect from that, Donald Trump has actually demanded an investigation of a 2003 photograph featuring Chuck Schumer and Vladimir Putin meeting.
Hilarious thing is this is from an official state visit from Putin to the U.S.
Yep.
Yeah,
and so they met in New York. Full view of press and public under oath.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing hidden about this?
Yeah.
Is days after Trump said it was time to put the trivial fights behind him.
Yeah. And then he got access to his Twitter account again, and that all went out the window. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be perfectly honest here. I honestly am really not sure how much there is to the Trump-Russia connection story, simply because I've gotten to a point now where I just really do not trust either the Democrats or the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. When it comes to shit like this, that isn't for me to say, because I would not in any way put it past Trump and his goonies to, you know, have these connections with the Russian government. I just don't. But there's also a part of me that thinks that there are some who are trying to use this as leverage because, Hillary lost. That's just the way I look at it. So honestly, until they find like some real concrete shit, I'm gonna just sort of remain agnostic on it.
To me it kind of seems like he sees where it's ultimately leading to.
Mm-hmm.
He's hoping to have as many bodies in front of him when this starts to fall.
Yeah.
But sees that there are bodies starting to fall.
Yeah.
And is getting desperate to try to spin this onto other people.
Yeah.
Which is why he tried to do this all on Chuck Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning when he tried to claim Obama wiretapped him.
Yeah.
When that was the FBI.
See, that's just a sign that he is definitely losing it now.
Yeah.
Well, I think what is probably scaring him the most is that he thinks he's going to have to finally turn over his taxes and he's going to get caught in fraud. I mean, what would scare a business person more than that?
Right. Yeah. All right.
You know, he can't get out of that shit.
Yeah.
I don't think he's worried about Russia. Although, if he has ties there, it's probably well hidden. But just follow the money.
Yeah.
Still keep saying the leaks are real, but the news is fake. At some point, something has to give here.
Yeah.
Is there anything real about him except that this is a real nightmare?
Yeah. About it.
Apparently, he's a big fan of watching TV and then calling up the people that say nice things about him.
Yeah.
Like, he's that guy that's up at midnight watching the shitty infomercials. It's like, I gotta get that shit.
He actually, supposedly from what we've been told, he basically stops working at 6:30 p.m.
Hmm.
That's just it for him, and then he just watches TV for the rest of the night.
People have started figuring out the timelines of his tweets in relation to things like Fox News programs. Like, figures out that he's learning ridiculous shit from them and starts tweeting it immediately after he sees it.
I really am convinced that he's starting to suffer from dementia.
Oh yeah, I totally buy that.
No, I just think he's a dick.
Oh yeah, that too.
I don't think he's mentally unwell. Other than whatever, he knows what he's doing is wrong. He's very aware of that. He just doesn't care because he's a dick.
All right. Well.
Anyway,
moving on from there, well, we got some more news not related, that is Trump administration related, but not with Trump. And Christian's going to go ahead and sign off here. He's got some stuff he's got to do. So we'll see you later, Christian.
Thank you, guys. I'll catch you guys
later.
Later.
All right. Have a good one. So this one it's basically about, we're just going to call it the hypocrisy train, shall we? So Vice President Mike Pence, during this whole, the whole presidential race, what was the one thing about Hillary that people kept harping about?
Her emails.
Her damn emails.
Oh, yes. Didn't they, though? Didn't they?
Yeah, well, guess what?
You'll never believe it.
Gee.
Turns out that Vice President Mike Pence discussed sensitive state matters using a personal AOL email account. Which, by the way, was hacked back in the summer of 2016.
AOL. So you know he's an old person. He uses AOL.
You know what?
My God.
The babies born in the year 2000 who go to the voting booths in 2018, they're going to remember that Mike Pence is the AOL idiot supporting all these people who are trying to get reelected. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. That's like eating steak well done with ketchup. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just
and a spork.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's and a then, wrong time for the job.
Yeah. And we already mentioned, we kind of mentioned the Jeff Sessions thing a little bit earlier. But that also includes, well, we already know by now Michael Flynn resigned over this mess. But it turns out that, you know who was also with Michael Flynn when they met, when they did that meeting at Trump Tower? Jared Kushner.
Yep, the son-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Michael Flynn's son-in-law. So.
Trump's son-in-law.
Yeah, Trump's son-in-law. So, like I said, hypocrisy train.
And so now he gets to throw family under the bus.
Train.
Are we going to be surprised when he does this? No!
Not in the slightest.
Oh, God. Well, I said once all this shit started was going to start going down, it was going to make for some amazing television.
This makes That's My Bush look like a fucking documentary.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh really my was. God, I forgot that show. That was freaking awesome.
Yeah. Sadly, it only lasted one season.
It's too bad they aren't interested in doing that for this generation.
Yeah, the guys who do South Park basically said they just couldn't do the Trump thing anymore because it was just, frankly, anything they can, they said anything they could come up with simply could not compete with the reality.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about that show is it was supposed to be featuring Al Gore. Mm-hmm. They, like many people, assumed he would win.
Yep.
So they had to scramble and figure out something else and came up with the great name, That's My Bush.
Yeah. Yeah. Weirdly enough, it ended up working.
Yeah.
So
I think it was supposed to be called Everybody Loves Al.
Mm-hmm. That and keeping up with the political shit, turns out that Iowa Senator, Republican Senator Mark Chelgren, government website, he claimed that he got his business degree from a place called Orbco Management School. Turns out, the alma mater was actually a company that owned a Sizzler franchise in Southern California. It was a Sizzler management course.
Okay.
It was not, in other words, it wasn't a legitimate business degree from a legitimate university. It was actually like one of those certificates you get from, you know, doing a training course at a franchise, basically.
Yeah.
Haven't we seen something similar to this?
I think so.
Uh-huh.
Kind of ringing a bell here.
I just have to ask, is there something in the water?
Yes. Well, lead, but yeah. There's going to be a hell of a lot more in the water before they're done with it.
Yeah, I guess he was pushing a bill that would force universities to consider political affiliation in faculty hiring.
Yeah. And then
that's
going to
go well.
That's illegal!
It is. You think that's going to stop him, though?
Well, no.
I got going to stop a guy who had no problem lying about his education past?
Yes.
Exactly. all I'm going to say is I am increasingly absolutely convinced that the Republican Party is dead. I'm honestly not sure if it's going to be able to recover the next couple of elections.
Well, if it's dead, there's some sadistic fucking necromancer running it right now.
Well, this is what happens when all the smart people decide to run away as far as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah. To New Zealand.
It's all the crazy people that are running the train now.
Yeah.
Like when they're trying to find this supposed secret healthcare bill to get rid of Obamacare, they can't find it.
Yeah.
Apparently searching all over Congress trying to find it.
Exactly.
That's fucking Where's Waldo?
Yeah. Oh, but we're not done with the political shit yet. Oh, no. Everybody's favorite human megaphone, Sean Spicer, has some hobbies. One of them is he's really into cosplay. And it turns out his cosplay history goes all the way back to the George W. Bush presidency when he played the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
He was the White House Easter Bunny.
This is one of those things actually where it's like, given all of the other crap that's been going on, this seems like one of the more tame things. So it's like, well, whatever.
It's just, I don't know why. I mean, honestly, compared to everything else, yeah, this just seems quaint.
Yeah.
You know, and if this was anyone else, it would be just quaint and kind of humorous. But, I mean, this is the guy who just apparently just does not like people. And who basically goes up doing every briefing with just the intention that it looks like he wants to murder every single person in that room.
Hmm. No, maybe that's why he dresses up, so people can't see his face.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Easter Bunny's kind of fucking evil, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wasn't there that whole
especially
evil
that suit.
Buffy? Yeah, that suit is creepy.
Yeah, there's a Q&A that's posted in here of him doing a little interview. How many years is this for you being a popular bunny and all? Second year, is his answer. Question, any good bunny perks? Answer, I think I have an in with Teddy from the Nationals Racing Presidents. We share a bond. Now, if you don't know the Washington Nationals, their baseball team, they have these big giant president suits that these people wear and race around the bases.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was kind of wanting to do that.
Do that. Okay.
So you wanted to be a sports mascot.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now he's handling press secretary for Trump. Mm.
Wow, what a freaking disappointing life.
Yeah, he gets all the criticism instead of being the hero to all the kids.
Oh my God, all he wants to be doing is firing the t-shirt cannon.
Now I gotta do this.
Instead, he's getting fired upon.
He's getting fired upon. What? Where did his life go wrong to end up there? I mean, he could have had it all.
Yeah. There must have been just some ancient, like, Aztec trickster god or something that he pissed off at some point in his life.
Oh, that one didn't like bunnies, apparently.
No.
Yeah. I'm guessing maybe it's, I don't know. Is Elmer Fudd like an Aztec trickster god or something? Because apparently.
No.
We can make him one.
Yeah.
What a maroon.
All right.
Finally.
Finally, to round up all the political shit for this episode. Mexican congressman by the name of Rayo Guerra, sorry, I'm not very good with Spanish. He decided to do a video message that he recorded while he was sitting atop a border wall.
Yeah, 30-foot-high fence in Tijuana Beach.
Yep. And basically, the whole point was to just basically prove that Trump's idea of a border wall was just stupid. I mean, he literally climbed up that thing by himself. That's how just...
Yeah, the Bing transition on one of his tweets, "I climbed the wall with us. Look at Donald Trump. The absurd and unnecessary spending on this project that does wrong and harms our good neighborliness.
Yeah. You're like, look at this. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It really is. And yet, people want it for some reason.
People think this is going to keep them out.
Yeah. The whole ocean part that's wide open? Yeah. Yeah.
If all else fails, you know, they can get a boat and, you know, sail around it.
Yeah.
Not that difficult. It requires a little effort, but...
I mean, they're all hard workers. They can find the way around it if they have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there we go. It's all the political shit for the week. It's...
Oof, yeah.
It's out.
It was a rough week.
Yeah.
We're done with that part.
Yeah. So,
that's to the stupid stuff.
Yeah. Well, first we have to do a rest in peace for the actor Bill Paxton. He sadly passed away this week completely unexpectedly from complications during surgery.
Yeah, it's the worst way to go.
Yeah. Everybody knows Bill Paxton. He was in Independence Day. He was in just a bunch of movies.
Aliens, Twister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Terminator. Weird Science, wasn't he, Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Wasn't he Titanic. Also in Spaceballs?
Mm-mm.
Carrie Elwes.
Carrie Elwes wasn't in Spaceballs.
No, Carrie Elwes was in Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
No, I thought he was too, but... I think it's
no, Carrie Elwes is in Robin Hood, Men in Tights. He's the guy who plays Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman is who you're thinking of for Spaceballs. Because I saw that too, and the first thing I thought was, that's the guy. And then I saw the picture, I'm like, that's not the guy.
Okay, what I've heard, people get those two mixed up a lot.
Bill Paxton and Bill Pullman.
Yeah, probably the same age, really.
Yeah.
Sort of similar, same.
Yeah, Bill Pullman, 63.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Paxton, 61. So yeah, pretty much.
I mean, they've both made their careers with B movies, which I totally appreciate. So
yeah.
So,
game over, man. Game over. Yeah.
Unfortunate way to go, but did leave quite a legacy of entertaining film. So
yeah.
You got that now.
Yeah, and everything I've heard, he's one of the nicest people.
Yeah. Or was.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so at one point this week, about a quarter of the internet basically just went, fuck it, and died.
What happened here? I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah, so basically, first of all, you can blame one of the guys at Amazon. So basically Amazon's cloud service basically went out for a little while, for several hours.
Yeah, they run a large part of the internet.
Oh yeah.
Oh, their S3 stuff.
Yes. Yeah, when I went to go AWS was all bad.
Yeah.
When I went to go pick up Horizon on Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
the guys there that were working the register were telling me that they had to kick people out Tuesday morning because their system went down due to this.
Yeah. Does their cloud service by any chance also control Reddit?
No, and it doesn't control Reddit, but it does control a lot. It does control Imgur, which Reddit uses heavily.
Yes, I remember Imgur was not working for me.
Yeah, like there were some sites that were functioning well, but because they were hosted on the AWS, like the photos wouldn't work, and without photos, your internet's broken, man. So
yeah,
Amazon hosts a lot of image server stuff.
Yeah,
it looks like stuff works now. Fortunately.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So what happened? I'll wrap up what happened here.
Yeah, because you're the tech wizard here. So.
Yeah. So this guy from Amazon, he was authorized to do what he was doing. He was basically just trying to remove a couple of servers from the cluster. Mm-hmm. So he could do some work on them or whatever. He put in the, he followed the playbook. He put in the commands to do it, but instead of specifying the numbers of servers that he was supposed to put, he put a like added an extra couple of zeros to the number. So that made their subsystems kind of freak out and reboot. And because there's basically been running those services for years and years without ever rebooting, when they did reboot, you know, like when you do an OS update and stuff, you do reboot, it takes a really long time for things to come back up. Mm-hmm. That's basically what happened here.
So I found that Netflix runs on Amazon servers, mm-hmm. Spotify, yes. Pinterest, BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. So it's about 148,000 sites total.
Yeah.
Yeah, the games that my company makes wouldn't work either. So I had a good 4 hours to myself.
Yeah. So Amazon has said, now that we've seen how this thing can go wrong, they're gonna take steps to make sure that the tool like just won't accept input like that, so it doesn't do that again. So at least they've learned from their mistakes, and they were upfront about what happened. And you know, that's what we can really, the best we can expect from a cloud services company is that they're open and honest with you as to the mistakes that they made.
God, I hope they didn't fire the poor guy.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, Yahoo Webmail runs on Amazon servers, so all the spam that happens on there took a back seat for a few hours.
Yeah.
For what it's worth, Amazon.com was working perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, we should buy servers here.
Yeah. But, wow.
Yeah. So, when you're putting commands in to take servers offline, be sure you enter the command right, or weird things can happen.
Yeah. Thing go boom.
Yeah. If you make a typo that takes that down a quarter of the internet, you know, that's a really strong typo.
That's a typo. You need a lot of power. Redundancy there.
Yeah.
And that's why you want to use tabs over spaces.
Yep. Exactly.
God damn it. Oh, there's
a well. So next up. Well, you see, folks, life. Here. It's like a hurricane.
Yeah.
You know? And, that hurricane's coming back for another round. Because we finally got the first good look at the new upcoming DuckTales series.
And it looks
amazeballs.
Yeah. I was hoping Disney was going to do this right. And, it looks like, they're hitting everything properly.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that is very obvious from this is what they're trying to do is, and this is partly, probably a good deal of also, that was just a weird ass bit of word salad I just spewed out there.
It's late.
Yeah, but I think one of the things they're doing with this particular version is they're doing a lot to try and give an international appeal, because did you notice something about the art style? It's very comic booky.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. It's because the vast majority of DuckTales story material was pretty much directly ripped off of the work of a comic book creator by the name of Carl Barks, who was a American comic book artist who did a shit ton of work for Disney back in the golden age of comics.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who created Uncle Scrooge. And the thing is, Disney owns a disproportionate amount of the comic book publishing in Europe, and in the U.S., as it happens, considering they now own Marvel. Yeah. And a lot of their old school Disney comics are really popular over there. be the, you know, France, Italy, the Netherlands, places who have like really diverse comics culture.
Yeah.
And this this version of the show really does a lot to sort of pay homage to Bart's art style and storytelling style.
Yeah.
But it also at the same time does a good deal of much needed updates to the material. For example, Huey and Dewey Louie are no longer ear bleeding.
Hmm. Good.
In fact, they're actually quite funny and all have their own personalities.
Yeah.
And it seems like Donald's more of a thing.
Yeah,
Donald's not just more of, abandoned.
He doesn't just up and, you know, ditch his nephew, ditch his, I think they're his nephews. They're Donald's nephews. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or his son.
Donald's kids.
I think they're his kids and then the nephew to us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're Donald's kids. Wow. Who's
yeah,
the
he's
mom?
He's a famous figure.
Daisy, right?
Yeah.
No?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I was never able to figure that out. But anyway, he basically, he's like, you know, where you're, you know, first of all, have any of you guys watched the preview yet?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
God damn, that is funny. He's like, you're leaving us with Scrooge McDuck, the bajillionaire? You're finally going to sell us.
See, the funny thing about DuckTales and a lot of these late 80s and 90s cartoons was that I'd watch the theme song, and then I just turned it off because I didn't care about the actual content. Yeah. So this was the case for DuckTales, Tailspin, X-Men, believe it or not, and yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, so first of all, it looks great. It's really funny. They've got who is it that's doing Scrooge now?
It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
David Tennant.
Yeah, it's David Tennant.
David Tennant. Yeah, and he's really good.
Well, yeah, he should be. Yeah.
The Purple Man.
Well, he was Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's got it.
He's not. Obviously, he can't quite compare to the original voice actor who sadly passed away. But hey, I mean, at least he got in that one last gig for the game. Yeah. So, but
yeah, the hell of a cast though.
Yep.
Oh yeah, yeah. Disney's really going all in with this show,
especially going after the SNL crew.
Yeah.
And the best part is, apparently, it's so good they've already renewed it for a second season.
It hasn't even premiered yet, and they renewed it for a second season. So.
Yeah.
It up in the Huey, Dewey, and Louie are Donald's nephews. Hmm. Oh, so they're Scrooge McDuck's great nephews, which. Hmm. Why the fuck is Donald Duck in charge of his nephews? Where are their parents at?
Got killed or something. Yeah. You know, got eaten.
Robot Chicken actually did a sketch about that once. And they basically did Huey and Louie's mother was a hooker who dies in a shootout with the police.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Well, Disney hasn't provided an explanation, so.
Well, all right. Let's make it canon.
We'll get that in the first episode.
Yeah. So anyway, from there we've got the trailer for Alien Covenant.
I had no expectations whatsoever when I like clicked on this, and now it's like, oh my god, I need to see this.
Yeah. So if you were one of those people who saw Prometheus and were like,
what the hell happened?
Yeah, like just really underwhelmed. Well, You can rest easy now.
Yes.
What we've got here is amazeballs, frankly.
Yep. Dark and moody and everything that an alien movie is supposed to be.
Yep. It's good. Just watch it. We aren't going to spoil it for you.
No.
Just watch it.
It makes me want to watch through my quadrilogy set that I have.
Yeah.
I've only watched the first one.
Yeah. It really is that good, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, you haven't seen Aliens?
I've seen it. I've seen it on TV. Oh. Which means I probably haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen bits and chunks.
I was making to say, dude.
Yeah.
No, I know all about Game Over, man.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
So
that Cartman's references to it.
Yeah.
We've also gotten the first trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Yeah. Well, this is an actual trailer, not like the teaser.
Yeah, an actual trailer, not a sneak peek, not a
preview
or anything like that. It's an actual honest-to-goodness trailer.
Yep.
That's great.
I need to go to the theater to see this, and I don't go to the theater very often.
Wait a sec. Is he? He's... So, Star-Lord here is definitely using one of those old electronic handheld football games as a tracker thing here.
Yes.
That is absolutely what he is using.
Yep. And
that was probably one of the things he had in his backpack.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
so expect the prices for those things on eBay to start skyrocketing.
Yeah, if you can find them. If they haven't already been snapped up as we're recording this.
Yeah.
Whoever was smart that owns that would start reprinting them.
Yeah.
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 Oh, God. The Guardians of the Galaxy particular section of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is just a... It's just a trough of vintage throwbacks, isn't it?
Yep. Especially when they start playing some Fleetwood Mac in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Not some cover or remix or anything, the actual song.
Yeah.
The actual freaking from Fleetwood Mac's Rumors. Yes, yeah, that. That one, the real one.
Yeah. So.
And so, yeah. And further in more Disney film news, yes, there's another Pirates of the Caribbean movie coming because they just cannot stop making them.
Yeah, please stop.
And I guess they need Johnny Depp to get some of their money back, all the money they pissed away on Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
So.
And they got nice young Johnny Depp CGI going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, this one's going to feature a ghost shark.
Why?
Because apparently they've run out of every other possible fucking idea.
And like they have officially jumped the shark.
No, they haven't
ghost
jumped
shark,
the shark.
Ghost shark, like a shark ghost?
Yeah, a shark ghost.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Shark ghost. The ghost shark jumps them. It jumps right over them.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than a shark zombie.
Yeah, I guess.
So these ghost people are kind of zombies, too. I don't think they ever really went into the difference, really.
Yeah.
Oh.
But.
Or if they did, they made it needlessly complicated.
Yeah.
That first movie was pretty good.
Yeah, the first movie's fine. It's the movies they made after that just needlessly complicated the whole thing.
Yeah. Well. After the other two trailers that we saw this week, this one just kind of fell flat for me. So it's like, no thanks.
We should have talked about this before Guardians.
Yeah. Kind of a downer, but.
Well. For every good thing, you got to have something to take you down.
Yeah. Well, in further Disney news, this time the Marvel related. Marvel's The Inhumans. They have released the cast for it. Those of you are most of you sort of familiar with who the Inhumans are and the overall Marvel milieu or whatever.
If like even for the casuals, if people are watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they have a good idea who the Inhumans are.
Hmm. Basically, the Inhumans are like the fantasy version of the X-Men.
Yeah,
that's
it seems just more like off-brand X-Men.
Well, the X-Men are kind of sort of off-brand Doom Patrol. That's right, I went there.
Since they can't use them, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the record, the Inhumans actually are pretty neat in themselves, and especially if you've been reading the comics lately. Those of you who don't know, Charles Soule is currently the head of that particular branch of the Marvel comic book universe. I've told before, he's an amazing writer, and probably one of the best writers they've got over there right now. And basically, all you need to know about the Inhumans is that they're basically people who are affected by this thing called the Terrigen Mist, which basically goes around the world and infects people and basically gives them Inhuman superpowers.
Yeah.
And so what happens is that they come under the command and protection of Black Bolt and Medusa, the king and queen of the human of the Inhumans, respectively. Black Bolt is kind of a dick. And Medusa is kind of there to keep his, you know, his dickishness in check. Oh, and she's also got like a shit ton of red hair that's just like everywhere.
Yeah.
That she can use telepathically. Hmm. Oh, and she also has tits the size of balloons because Marvel. Because
Marvel. Yeah. So who did they cast?
Well, let's see. We've got Ime Ikuwaker from Concussion and Extant. Isabel Cornish from Australia Day Puberty Blues. Mike Moe from Empire and Street Fighter Assassin's Fist. Sonya Balmores from Beyond the Break and Soul Surfer. And Ellen Wagelum from Californication and Outlaw.
I have actually heard of some of these people, so yeah. That's good.
It's a diverse cast, so that's even better.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's also a big bulldog.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Lockjaw.
Yeah, Lockjaw. I know the big bulldog, Lockjaw. He shows up in... by the way, those who don't know, the current Miss Marvel, Kamala Khan, is actually an Inhuman as well.
Yeah.
And, Lockjaw is her pet.
Because
of course he is.
Yeah.
He's a 2,000-pound dog that can teleport.
Mm. Yep. And, for whatever reason, Kamala Khan thought he was the most adorable thing she'd ever seen.
Hey.
But,
to each their own, eh?
Yeah. Oh, Kamala's just kind of weird anyway.
Yeah, she is. So
she spends the whole nights writing Captain America and Iron Man slash fic for a web forum. So
Jesus.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So we also have some news from Netflix. Some really cool, awesome news from Netflix. Two specials. From none other than Mr. Dave Chappelle. That'll be going up on March 21st.
Hmm. Yeah, Netflix has been doing a lot of comedy specials for, well, over the past couple of years. They've been just churning them out. So,
yeah.
And it's been pretty successful for them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, these two specials are coming from Chappelle's personal vault of stuff he's filmed but not released.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're coming out on the same day.
Yeah.
He had, though you don't know, his last, it's literally the first stand-up comedy concert specials he's done that's been released in 12 years.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
Yep.
So it's going to be Dave Chappelle, The Age of Spin, and Dave Chappelle, Deep in the Heart of Texas.
Hmm.
And these were
The Age of Spin
filmed.
Was filmed in March 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And Deep in the Heart of Texas was April 2015.
At the Moody Theater in Austin.
Yeah. So.
In a more optimistic time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how well those have aged for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, he's got one more to go. He signed a deal for three specials, so he's got one more to go after these.
Yeah.
So, man, it's going to be interesting to... You know, see how his stand-up has evolved.
Yeah.
Ever since he got the show and then walked away from it and then disappeared for a while and then made his way back and may or may not have kind of gone crazy. But whatever, it's gonna be because the dude is one of the most amazing comedians in the world.
Yep.
I mean, he's just fantastic at. Given a bit,
he did a more than a fantastic job with SNL.
I
was gonna say his SNL sort of opening monologue was a pretty good indication of what he can do.
Yeah.
And further Netflix news, it's coming back April 14th, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yay! Yay!
Yay! Commentary over really, really crappy movies.
Nobody's done that yet. Yeah, I kid, but basically everybody else ripped it off from them. So. Yeah. But yeah, so,
yeah, they're responsible for the modern Let's Play.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, yeah.
And yeah, so who's going to be there? Well, you know, if you look at the cast's photo, you can tell everyone who's going to be here, including Patton Oswalt. Mm. He's going to be in the cast. Jonah Ray, Hampton Young, Baron Vaughn, Felicia Day, Joel Hodgson, and and Robert Cohen, who's going to be the director.
Yeah.
Then there's going to be cars. They're going to have guest stars, too. Everyone from Mark Hamill to Jack Black, Neil Patrick Harris, Jerry Seinfeld. They'll also be, and as far as writing goes, there'll be folks like, Ernest Cline, for one.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he's going to be one of them. Patrick Rothfuss is also going to be one. Dana Gold, Rob Schraub. I've mentioned before, he's the guy currently directing the Lego Movie sequel.
Yeah.
Also the creator and writer artist of the comic book, Scud the Disposable Assassin.
Hmm.
And there's also going to be Robert Lopez as well.
This is a bunch of geeks, and that's a really good thing.
Yeah, they basically got a dream team here. Yeah.
April.
Yeah, this was actually kickstarted, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. It was.
It was, successfully.
We totally funded.
April 14th, all right. Now we're going to watch this and just be in stitches, probably.
Yeah. God, just having Patton Oswalt alone is freaking, well, not entirely, but...
No.
Oh, come on, you got to have Joel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Hmm.
So, in science fact, instead of science fiction... SpaceX, that's Elon Musk's company.
Yep.
They are planning a moon mission for next year.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure they're taking tourists there, aren't they?
It's going to be two, and the craft that they're going to be going on is going to be autonomous. There's no way this could go badly at all.
As long as they get the checks from them before, they'll be okay.
Yeah, like, hey, guys, you want to pay up front here, because...
Yeah, it says they've already paid a significant deposit to do a moon mission.
Yeah. So they need...
Yeah, Elon Musk better, you know, get down on his knees and pray to fuck to Ayn Rand that this doesn't go badly. Because if it does...
Oh, crap. That's going to set the private space industry back 10 years if it does go badly.
Mm-hmm.
So
you only hope for the best there.
Yeah.
You don't want us to be the next Challenger, dude.
No,
you just don't.
I really don't. And I do wonder, like, who... They haven't revealed the names of the people who are going to be going on this mission.
Yeah.
But, well... It's gonna be people with money and people who are very fit. So yeah, that kind of narrows it down to a very short list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. So. A lot of people don't realize that if you're gonna go to space, you know, you have to basically be physically fit enough to handle it. Because space takes a toll on the body.
It does.
Yeah, you can't be Homer Simpson.
No. Oh. Well, you'd be jiggling around while you're up there.
Yeah.
Chomping on all your potato chips. That was an epic, epic scene. Mm. I love that. I hear it. I see it in my head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the inanimate carbon rod episode.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. And finally, tonight, for our... final news story. It's science related and it's sex related.
Yes.
The smart condom.
Oh no.
Because what we need is an internet connected condom.
Yes, yeah. That can actually track your performance and then silently judge you.
Oh my god. It's like
just
Hey, Brandon, does your dick have Wi-Fi? Oh, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I guess technically it's not even a condom, it's a ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you fit over a what they call a boring, dumb condom.
Yeah, make it a smart condom.
They call it the icon.
Yeah.
I.con.
Yeah.
Third icon.
Rings are not.
No.
Just no. Just don't.
Comes
no.
with a 1-year warranty.
Nobody's going to have a good time with that.
1-year warranty on a customer.
A micro USB charging port.
According to the pre-order page, the ring will
answer. It's a USB-C? Come on. Get with it.
You know, according you can charge your vibrator a lot faster with USB-C.
Oh, my gosh.
According to the pre-order page, the ring will answer questions such as, what's my thrust velocity? How fast are my thrusts? How many calories did that session just burn? How many times did I just have sex? What's the average skin temperature of my eggplant? What's my girth? How many different positions did I just conquer?
How bad does it smell when it's done?
I don't know what the hell just happened.
And then, apparently what this does is that it takes your performance, and guess what you can do with it? You can upload it to the internet and compare it to others.
Are there achievements?
Oh, there's definitely going to be achievements.
It says you get 6 to 8 hours of live usage, okay. And pairs with your device via Bluetooth.
Well, that's over after you're, you know, 30.
Yeah. And you get the asshole who's looking at his phone while he's doing it. So I got to get my reps up.
Yeah. You know, this whole Internet of Things thing may be going a little too far.
Oh, we passed that point a long time ago.
We're around the bend a bit.
Yeah. The moment when they started selling fly swatters with USB connectors on the handles that could keep track of how many flies you killed and then upload it to their website to compare it to others was the moment that this whole Internet of Things just finally went off the deep end.
Yeah, I guess about privacy of data. All data will be kept anonymous, but users will have the option to share their recent data with friends or indeed the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Internet of Things. There was a line there, and I believe they crossed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the price is up. Just because you can connect something to the internet doesn't mean you should.
Yeah, and the price is pretty good. It's £59.99. About $74 for it.
Yeah. Per condom?
For the ring.
The ring. For the ring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So are these, like, reusable?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and let me reiterate. Uncomfortable ring.
Yeah. So. So that's a thing now.
That's a hair pulling thing.
It's the thing.
Yeah, I guess they're taking pre-orders, but they're not actually taking the money just yet. So this thing might not even be real yet.
God.
Probably not.
How does it detect chlamydia and syphilis? That's what I want to know.
I don't know.
Wonder if it can track.
Could you imagine the alert on your phone if you have a custom alert? And you detect chlamydia and you're like, I got a bail. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so stupid.
I defiled myself.
You guys have so many titles for this episode.
All right. Well, with that bit of humor, I do believe we've got a show.
Something. I'm not quite sure what.
Well, I would like to remind all of our listeners that if you wish to write into the show, ask us questions, give us your political manifesto, maybe just tell us we're a bunch of self-important beta cuts or something. You can write into the show at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com.
Not
AOL.com. Because we learned our lesson when we were 15.
Okay, I went to this icons page as I went to close it, popped up the thing, why didn't you complete a purchase today? I don't trust you is one of the options.
I don't trust you.
God. Well, I would also like to remind our listeners that as well as iTunes, you can also download and listen to our cast pretty much everywhere else. Google Play.
TuneIn.
Yeah. What's the other ones, Phil?
Yeah, just, you know, basic whatever podcast app you happen to like, we're usually there.
Yeah.
Pocket Cast is like the best one. So get us there.
Enter some random characters into Google or whatever, and we're pretty sure you'll find it.
Yep. Okay, so I just opened the link for this icon thing, and then the first video that's shown is a Nintendo Switch commercial.
That is unfortunate.
Same audience.
Wow.
Go. Yeah. So on that note, Brandon, if you want a review copy of Icon, just let me know.
I'll keep that in mind. So,
yeah, we need more
with
hardware
that, folks,
coverage.
That...
God,
all right, stop. I gotta pull the plug on this thing, please. All right. So, for everyone here, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Thank you for joining us tonight. And for Filippo D'Onofrio, Patrick Mifflin, who is not here, Teresa Sammons, Chris Sologi, and Christian, who decided to go ahead and leave earlier, I'd just like to say good night, get some sleep, and you gotta switch, bitch!